I want to it was blessed to my heart today when I was looking at it, getting ready. But let me start reading in verse 41 and read down to the end of the chapter, number 1641. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. And behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar. Put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Our blessed Master, our gracious Father, our great, loving, gracious, merciful, holy, righteous God, Lord, we come into your presence. And all of us come. We come together. We come as one. We come as a body of believers, a group of saints coming the appointed way, the way you made for us to come through your blessed Son. Oh Lord, we can never get over what you did for us and what you did for us, and we can approach you. The high priest used to just be able to once a year go into your presence, but he couldn't go in there without blood. And now, Lord, you allow people like us, flesh and blood, men and women, frail, dust, weak, to come into your presence and speak to you. And you, Lord, hear us and allow us, oh God, to stay in your presence because of Christ. And you're with us tonight because of him. And so, Lord, meet with us tonight. But of all we ask you to do, we ask you most of all to bring glory to yourself and your Son. And Father, we pray for those that are sick. We pray for Brother Larry Matthews and for Lola. We pray, Lord Jesus, for Bruce and Joe. Pray for Shelby. Oh, God bless Shelby. Pray for Bruce and Sandy. For Dee Dee, her family. Lord Jesus, you have a people. And it's a delight and it's an enjoyment to pray for them. And our brethren are standing tonight in the same place I am, standing before your people, preaching your word, looking to you. Because indeed, who is sufficient for these things? We're just clay pots, clay pots. That's all we are. But oh, God bless you for the treasure and the unspeakable gift, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep o'er my soul. My joy is complete when I sit at His feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep o'er my soul. You know, there's a real glorious picture of our Lord Jesus Christ here in the verses that I read to you. But what actually happened, when you get home and you got time tomorrow or something, you read the 16th chapter of Numbers. And what starts out here is a rebellion. Starts out as the authority of Moses and Aaron were questioned by three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then 250 men of renown, princes. Let me read the first four verses, the first three verses, and you'll see. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelath, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. So you see, these men questioned their authority. Questioned, said, we're just as good as you are. We can, you know, you take too much on yourself. We're going to have to help you with your burden. That's what they're saying. And the next day, Moses said, all of y'all meet the next day. Told all this 250 men, Korah, Dathan, Abram, and all their household, says, you all meet tomorrow, about this time tomorrow. And he says, and well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll meet with Aaron, we'll meet with you all, and this matter will be settled once and for all. And that's what happens in verse 16 through 18. Look what happens. Look what happens here. He said in verse 5. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, say, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen, he will cause to come near. So come tomorrow. Come tomorrow. And I tell you what, so here they come. And when God would destroy the whole congregation, instead, he just got Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and their family, and the 250 men. You know, look what Moses said here in verse 8. Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi. See, these fellows they're sons of Levi. They minister at the tabernacle. They're not priests, but they minister at the tabernacle. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? That's what he said. Are you looking to be in the priesthood too? And listen to this, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron? What's Aaron ever done? What is Aaron that you murmur against him? So they came out, and God said this. He said, I'll tell you what, you know what God's going to do? If these men die a common death, like all men do, those 250 princes, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, if they all die the natural death, the way men do, he said, then God didn't send me. But if God does something new, if he opens up the ground and opens up the earth and swallows them, then you'll know. And sure enough, they're standing there, bad-mouthing Moses and Aaron, Earth opened up. As old Barnard said, he sent them to hell without giving them a chance to pack the suitcases. And that's what happened. He just opened up the earth and down they went. Everything that pertained to them. Everybody, the dead. Those 250 men were left alone. Had those censers. Well, God come down in fire and killed the 250 princes, men of renown. And then they took all their censers and beat them down into plates and used them to cover altars with. And I tell you what. Now they was against Moses, God's prophet, and the leader. But here's the real rebellion that was against it. They wanted to enter into the priesthood. And the rebellion was not only against Moses, but against God's appointed priest. God's appointed high priest, Aaron. And that's why he said, why are you going against Aaron? What? And Aaron, you want to enter the priesthood? And I tell you what, you know what this shows? Rebellion against God's way of redemption. The only way in the world. You know what Aaron did? He went in every day and offered sacrifice for Israel. He went in one day a year and offered a day of atonement, offered sacrifice, went in there by himself. He did all the work by himself. And here he was, they said, we don't like God's way of redemption. We don't like the blood. We don't like the altars. We don't like that. And I tell you this, reveals through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Aaron represents our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now you think, after all these people have seen the earth open up and swallow three families, and their tents and everything with them, you'd think that that gets somebody's attention. Then God comes down and lightning, I don't know how he done it, but he killed 250 more of those fellas because of their censers. These were mighty men of Israel, princes of renown, he says. Famous men. God, no respect of persons. They didn't do what he said, but he killed them. You'd think, my word, there's no way in the world these fellows will ever stand up against Moses and Aaron again. If you've seen people dying because of that, you say, surely, they'll never, ever murmur against Moses and Aaron. But look in verse 41. But on the morrow, the day after God did all this, they got up the next morning after God done all this. They got up the next day. All the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. What did they say now? What have you done? You killed the Lord's people. You'd think that this would have absolutely had a lasting effect on these people of Israel. But it didn't. The very next day, all the congregation got together to start talking to Moses and about Aaron and murmur against them. And all they said, you killed the Lord's people. They didn't kill the Lord's people. God killed these people. God did this. And I tell you what, you're talking about revealing man's depravity, man's rebellion, man's hatred of God and hatred of Christ. And here, I don't care how many miracles a person can see. I don't care how many signs that a person could want and how many witnesses people can have. But until God regenerates a man and puts a new heart in him and gives him the Spirit of God in him, I don't care what happens, he'll never believe anything. He can see a miracle. And how many people saw Christ after his resurrection and they still didn't believe him? I'll tell you, beloved, they watched Lazarus come out of the tomb. Nobody got converted over that. People could go be standing in a graveyard and somebody come up out of the grave, and if God didn't give them a new heart, that would not do anything for them. May shock them. May give them something to talk about the rest of their life. May say, boy, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. But I tell you one thing, unless God himself changes a man's heart and regenerates him, I don't care. Miracles won't do him any good. Signs won't do him any good. Witnesses won't do him any good. I tell you, it won't bring a man to God. Miracles don't do it. The only miracle that will bring a man to God is the miracle of a new birth. The miracle of God taking out the stony heart and putting it in the heart of flesh. And I tell you what, God's got to give regeneration revelation. And our Lord, I won't turn to it, but our Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself gave Himself, gave four witnesses. Four witnesses. He says, man, you're witnessing about yourself. He said, if I witness of myself, my testimony is not true. It's not right. But He said, there's John, you sent unto John. John bore witness of me. John the Baptist bore witness of me. And He said, and not only that, but all the works that I do, they bear witness of me. And then my Father bears witness of me. And then the Scriptures bear witness of me. But you know what He said? You will not come to me that you might have life. With all those witnesses, they said, but you will not come that you might have life. And I tell you what, you will not come. So that's what I'm telling you. If God does a miracle for a man, I mean regenerates him. Here these folks had just seen 250 people killed and a whole bunch of men and women and children go to the earth opened up and gets them. And the next morning, they get up and are still upset with Moses and Aaron. You'd think, man, that's a fool. Well, that's exactly what they were. Huh? And look what God says now. Down in verse 45. The wrath of God rose against this people. And He told Moses, He said, get you up from among this congregation because I'm going to consume them as in a moment. I'm going to wipe this whole bunch of people out. What did they do? Instead of getting out of the way, letting God go ahead and consume them all, what did He do? They fell on their faces. They began to pray. They began to intercede for these people. And oh my, well, what in the world is it going to happen then? What's going to happen? Well, look what Moses tells Aaron to do. Verse 45. Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer. Get your censer. Put fire in that censer off the altar. Go back in the altar and get that fire off of that where that sacrifice is offered. Get that fire off that altar. And then put incense on that fire. And then go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement. Get a sacrifice, get a blood atonement, get a sacrifice. For the wrath is gone out from the Lord and the plague is begun. Well, Aaron done just as Moses commanded, ran into the midst of the congregation. The plague was begun among the people. He put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now, they that died in the plague were 14,700 besides them that died after the matter of Korah. Oh, my. Now, I tell you what, this is one of the best Old Testament pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, Jesus our Savior. And let's consider him as a type of our Lord, of our blessed Master, our Lord Jesus. First of all, Aaron loved these sinful people. He loved them. He loved them. These people certainly didn't love Aaron. They didn't love Aaron. You know, that whole plot against them to strip him of his office and take the priesthood unto themselves. That's what they were trying to do. And I tell you, that's the attitude of Adam's fallen race. That's what they've always been against. Is they want to strip Christ of His office, want to strip Christ of His power, and take it unto themselves. In the Garden of Eden, what was Adam and Eve done in the Garden of Eden? They rebelled against God, said, we'll not have this man, God, to reign over us. We won't do it. Satan come along and said, listen, you gods, you don't need God, you're God yourself. You don't need your own will, you don't need His will, you got your own. You don't need His glory, you got your own. And I tell you, now at the Tower of Babel, a bunch got together. Old Nimrod and a whole bunch of them got together and said, let's build us a tower all the way to heaven. We'll reach to heaven itself. They started up building that tower. Everybody spoke the same language at that time. Everybody understood everybody on the whole earth. But you know why they called it the Tower of Babel? Because God confounded them and changed every one of them's language. And they just, that's all there was, babbling to one another. they're gonna reach heaven by building a tower. You're talking about how foolish man is and how wicked man is. Gonna build him a tower all the way to heaven. And then, beloved, at the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, the cry against him that you and I, even ourselves, has made is, there was a time we said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. We just won't have this man to reign over us. Our Lord Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. And men, including us, apart from God's blessed grace, would rob him of his preeminence. God made him to be preeminent in all things. Preeminent in salvation. But wait a minute. We got a free will. We can save ourselves. Huh? That God made him to be a righteousness. But we don't need his righteousness. We got our own. Huh? Oh my. We don't need his power. Our power is greater than his. Huh? We don't need his work. Our works are sufficient. We'll just add his to ours and make us just a little better. And I'll tell you, our goodness, oh my, how good a people we are. We don't need his grace. And they want to rob him of his glory and rob him of his preeminence. Brag about their power. Brag about their will. Brag about their free will. Brag about their choice. Brag about their righteousness. Brag about their church going. Brag about their baptism. Brag, 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 brag. Christ gets down, 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 down in their eyes. But Aaron loved these people. He loved these people. And he loved these people, but they had no love for him. No more than we had any love for our Savior. And Aaron loved these people. And listen, with no regard for his own life and his own safety, you know what he did? He rushed right among all them people. Rushed right out among them. And the wrath of God was coming down on them. But he rushed right among all them people. And you know what he did? He identified with them. Got right in the middle of them, identified with them. Huh? And our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, he loved us. Oh, how he loved us. Oh, he loved us with an everlasting love. We know he loved us because God sent him. We know he loved us because he told us we did. We know he loved us because he gave himself for us. Loved me and gave himself for me. And I tell you, how do we know he loved us? He came to this earth. Took upon him flesh. Why to do that? Why did he do that? So he could identify with us. Identify with us. And then he come up under the law. With that law that condemned us, that law that found us guilty, that law that we offended God with. And not only did he become a man, but he took upon himself the form of a servant. Huh? Oh, he so identified with us. And just like Aaron loved these people, they didn't love him. Christ loved us and we didn't love him. But you know what he said? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us. Herein is love that God sent his only begotten Son, that through him he would be the propitiation, the mercy seat, the atonement, the sacrifice for our sins. For our sins. So, oh my, he run right in among them people. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he come among us. He come among us. And the second thing about Aaron is a type of our Lord Jesus. He acted as God's high priest. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. Aaron didn't rush before God empty-handed. Oh no, he didn't just run in the presence of God and say, plead for mercy and a prayer for compassion and a prayer for pity on them. No, no. The people had sinned greatly. And the wrath of God come down on them. And God can't lift His wrath off of a man until there's first a sin offering. He can't take His wrath off of a man. There's got to be a sin offering. There has to be a sacrifice. There has to be an atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Huh? And Aaron brought that censer of incense. And he made that atonement. Run in there and shed that blood and come back out with that censer and run among the people and already offered atonement for them. And he acted as a high priest, God's high priest. And our Lord, oh our Lord, our Savior, as our high priest, He has to have something to offer Himself. Well, what was it? Huh? As our high priest, He has to have an offering Himself. A high priest has to have an offering. He has to have something to offer. Moses said to Aaron, get your censer and get an atonement, get an offering. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, you know what His tabernacle was? Is His body. You know what His sacrifice was? Himself. I can't get over this idea of Christ sacrificed Himself. How many times do you find in the Scripture, Himself, Himself, Himself? Oh my. And you know what His atonement was? You know what His sin offering was? You know what the offering was? Was His own blood. His own blood. That was His atonement. He took and entered heaven itself with His own blood. Oh, tell you something Aaron didn't do when he rung among these people. He didn't plead their works. He didn't say, boy, these are good folks. They've done some good works. They've done some good deeds. And he didn't promise. I'll tell you something else he did. He didn't promise that they'd do better in the future. That's what people want to do. I'm going to start now and I'm going to do better in the future. Well, okay, if you start right today and you never sinned again, what are you going to do about them sins that you had up to that time? Huh? And that's why you have to have, you know, he didn't plead that they're going to do better. That's something that I learned years and years and years and years and years ago. Don't make no promises to yourself or anybody else, except for things in this life. Don't make no promises to God. Don't make no promises to yourself that you're going to be better at this or better at that or something else better at. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read more. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do. You know, all you do is setting yourself up to throw yourself on the mercy of Christ where you ought to always stay anyway. Right? How many times you say, boy, I'm going to start praying more. Next day, you don't even pray at all. You ever done that? I went a whole day. I'm going to read the Bible. Next day, you get up and don't even pick it up. That's us. That's why we don't make no promises. That's why Aaron said, "These fans, I can't talk about their works. I can't talk about their deeds. Promising they're going to do better." You know what he did? He held up that blood sacrifice, this atonement. Held it up. And that's atonement in one, the censer in the other. Blood and prayers. Blood and a sweet smelling savor going up to God. Huh? And I tell you, our Lord Jesus does not plead anything about us. He ain't got nothing He can say good about us. In fact, we ain't got nothing to say good about ourselves before God. That's why He says that we have no confidence in the flesh. When we talk about confidence, we're talking about for God. I've got confidence in everybody in this building. I've got confidence in you as a person. And the things you do and the love you show and the generosity you have. I have confidence in all of you. But when it comes before God, I don't have a confidence in you, me, or nobody else but Christ. Ain't that right? Huh? He doesn't plead our works, but He pleads what He did. What He did. And then let me show you this. Last thing about Aaron. Aaron served as the mediator. You know, here's all these people. 14,700 besides Korah and all the matter of Korah. These people were dropping like flies, dropping like dust. You know what Aaron done? He stepped between them and he began to plead God's mercy for them. And it says there, you know, and the plague was made. And all, look what it says in verse 48. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Oh, what did he do? He walked between them people, the dead over here and the living over there. And he stood between them. And he says, death, judgment, wrath, if you are ever going to, you're going to have to, if you're ever going to come, red death and judgment, you got to march over me, my atonement. You got to smite God's high priest and ignore God's atonement if you want to destroy me and destroy God's people, destroy the Lord's people. Now, death and judgment, you got to stop right here, or else you got to go over the atonement that I gave. You got to smite the high priest to stop me from them people being saved. Huh? And I tell you what, God's wrath and judgment has a claim on all of us. Oh, it had a claim on us. God drew out His sword of justice, and He drew it out. And oh my, God says, I've got to smite. You know what our Lord Jesus Christ said? You got to walk over me. Justice, you got to walk over me. Death, you got to walk over me. Wrath, you got to walk over me. Judgment, you got to walk over me. Huh? And ignore my blood to get to any of my sheep. So there ain't nobody going to get to our sheep. Even Satan himself, he can't get through the blood. Oh, the only people who knows anything about the blood, the people's had the blood applied. Huh? Let me tell you in closing, let me say this. Aaron and his atonement, Aaron and his sacrifice was the only hope the people had. Only hope they had. Had he not got in there with that atonement, God would just kept slaying and slaying and slaying. And here's something, you know, God's has a people, a vessels of wrath, already fitted for destruction. How many people in this world today is fitted for destruction? Sodom and Gomorrah was fitted for destruction. The people before the flood was fitted for destruction. And there's these people, there's these people on this earth that God said, you're vessels of wrath, and I fitted you for destruction. You know why He don't automatically descend destruction on them? Because He's long-suffering. But when His long-suffering is through, that vessel of wrath is going to be destroyed. Just like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and those 250 princes of famous renown. When God sets out after a man, if they don't have Christ, if he don't have that blood, if he don't have the atonement, if he don't have Christ as his only hope, if he don't have Christ as his only Savior, if he don't have Christ as his only plea before God, and by himself purged our sins. And I tell you, everything about God's got to stop at the foot of Christ for all whom Christ died. Huh? Death, he ain't coming. He's not coming. Life is coming. This body's going to die, but life is coming. Huh? Oh my. There's therefore now no condemnation that there in Christ. And I tell you, God's judgment stopped with Him. God's justice stopped with Him. God's wrath stopped with Him. Oh, the only hope. Aaron went in there by himself. And our Lord Jesus Christ went in there by himself. By himself. And obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, what a blessed high priest we have. What a blessed high priest we have, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea, He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, He is all I need. See you soon.